Hello, airport industry folks. Welcome to the AX Insider podcast, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Andy Telejohn, the senior writer at Airport Experience News. This podcast will be part of our 20 Years, 20 Voices series, celebrating the upcoming 20th Airport Experience Conference. During these calls, we're talking with industry veterans who've overseen the evolution of the concessions industry and the improvements in customer service over the last two decades or so. Today, we're talking with Nick Cruz, managing partner and CEO of Cruz Companies, and president of Nicholas & Associates, the ACDBE management and oversight company that oversees Cruz Companies. Nick, thanks for taking some time.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today.
Nick, you got a new addition to the family here. I imagine that's keeping you plenty busy these days. How's personal life going?
Personal life is great. Yeah, my wife and I had the introduction of our second child, a baby boy. He's, you know, a couple weeks old now, and we also have a little girl who's just under two, and, you know, that two under two is real. We're doing a lot of one-on-one defense and, you know, keeping the house is very busy, but I give all the praise to my wife. She's holding it down as an entrepreneur. You know, I really took a week off of paternity leave, but all is good, you know, some sleepless nights, but super blessed.
Well, can't argue that. That sounds great. Congratulations on the new addition. Nick, I've been asking people how they got into this business. You were born into it. What your family has a long legacy in the concessions industry. How did you get started in that business, and what made you decide to stay? Were there ever moments where you thought maybe I'll do something else?
You know, I did grow up in the business, or at least around the business, but honestly, my decision to get into it full time had a lot to do with timing, and just when opportunities meet preparation, right? That's success. When I was in undergrad and in law school, I actually was not planning on or thinking about getting into the family business. So timing kind of worked out where 2008, 2009, I was completing my final year of law school. I was interning at a record label. I was also working part-time from my family business at LAX, overseeing news and gift locations. And during that year, I really formed some meaningful relationships with LAX stakeholders and gained just a deeper understanding and passion for the airport concessions operations and business. 2009, thereabouts, when I was studying for the bar, LAX was scheduled to release an RFP for new opportunities, and it allowed for me to leverage the legal skills, my business development skills, and sign multiple food and beverage brands. And I was waiting for my bar results, so I submitted the response in partnership with my family's companies, and won the opportunity, and kind of the rest is history from there. I put all my chips into airport concessions and been going ever since.
Do you ever think about what might have been when you were thinking about those days with the record label? That's an interesting piece of background that not everybody has.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, at that period of time, the music industry was going through a lot of flux and ups and downs. But another little tidbit, I used to DJ back in high school through college. And so seeing how much DJs get paid these days on these international circuits definitely has me thinking about what if, but... Overall, I don't look back at it too much. You know, I love this business and the folks that I'm working with right now.
Okay. You reveal too many little pieces of history like this, and you might end up pressed into service at one of the after parties at the conference coming up. But, how is the company doing right now? You've taken over largely from the previous generation. What is the list of holdings right now?
So currently, we operate in four airports. We're food and beverage and retail locations, roughly 35 locations, like 18 different local, regional, national brands. You know, six locations at Dulles, five at Reagan, then another, call it 10 in LA, and a bunch in Atlanta. We're busy. You know, we are not only focused on trying to expand in those key markets with, you know, meaningful opportunities. So currently we have I want to say 5 locations under development in both DC and Los Angeles. And so working on these new projects, it entails balancing a lot, right? So it's the ongoing construction schedules, rising construction costs, capital costs, managing those brand relationships, but then you can't forget about your existing operations, right? And so working with our team in those existing locations to manage through the, you know, shifting passenger and airline trends that we have to manage, the incorporation of technology. I think a lot of people talk about that front-facing technology for customers, but then there's also the back-end technology that you're trying to implement within our company to make our team members' jobs more efficient so they can focus on that analysis versus these tedious labor jobs, right? And then also I'm really operationally, I think we had a huge rush of people out of our business, and now we're getting people back into hospitality and airports and restaffing. So it's hiring, and not just hiring, but retention, right? A lot of focus on what I'm calling getting back to the basics, right? Focused on those SOPs, those trainings, those processes, so you can retain those team members. I think through all these ups and downs, one key thing is you got to stick to, you know, sound fundamentals through those ups and downs. And you got to remind yourself of that. And that's really what we're focused on within the company while we're developing these new locations.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. How has retention gone? Have you got folks, once you get them into cruise, do you generally keep them around a while? That's a pretty big deal these days with the staffing being the way it is.
I think our retention rates are above industry average, but I think we have that benefit of that family culture. Even though we are a mid-sized company, we still truly act as a family business in many aspects, and our team members buy into that. And so, you know, for us, and I believe it does probably hold true for a lot of our industry partners, is, you know, after someone's with our company for that 60-day mark or that 90-day mark, they're going to be with us for a long time. We just had a couple recognitions for our team members. I think in Atlanta, we have, from our management team, over 15 people that have been with us for 15 plus years, which is, you know, a testament to, I think, the company culture and just what we're trying to drive. But we got to continue to reinforce that, not just with our executive team and our management team, but with our hourly associates, get them to buy in, find that passion for the airport industry, for our company, and try to rise within our company, right? Start as a cashier, go to a supervisor, manager, and eventually become a ACDB business owner.
Interesting. That's that culture piece. 15 years in an airport feels like a long time. You see it occasionally where people are lifers in the airport, but there's so many barriers to keeping folks. When they can find jobs on street side that are so much easier to get to and all of that. Do you have one or two best practices? You mentioned, training and letting people advance within the company, but are there any other best practices that have allowed you to kind of keep that family feel even as the company has grown?
I don't know if I want to give my secret sauce away.
Well, okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Just giving you a hard time. No, yeah. I mean, honestly, it's just espousing this passion and being to all your team members, listening. I often say be a learn-it-all, right? So, and tell your team members that don't have all the answers, but listen and try to learn everything you can. I go into situations asking more questions than giving more answers often. And I think people that embody that, it helps them understand that we're buying into them as individuals and how they support our overall company.
Okay. I have 2 kids as well. They're not as young as yours, but I'm going to incorporate that learn it all into some of their future learnings as well. I like it. Nick, so we're talking with Nick Cruz today. He's the managing partner and CEO of Cruise Companies. These interviews are focusing largely on the evolution of concessions and the customer experience over the last couple decades. And you've had kind of a front row seat, going back those couple decades, even when your parents were running things and all of that. What are the biggest evolutions you've seen during that time, and where does Cruise fit into that? What role has Cruise played in helping make some of these airports better over the years?
Oh, wow. Well, it has evolved quite a bit in this industry. So I think that, you know, for Cruise in the industry, we're evolving in the types of brands that we're bidding and seeking to partner with and operate. Nowadays, we don't just want a brand name, but we want a true partnership and a symbiotic relationship with our brand partners. Since, you know, airports do want a brand that they recognize that and represents that city that the airport lives in, we have to take that into account, but we can't just, you know, give a brand everything that they want to operate them in the airport because our margins are already very tight. So we're relooking at how we structure and negotiate our terms with the brands that we're operating. We're, you know, having dialogues with the airport and our airport partners as far as, you know, taking into account the current dynamics, like, so the terms I'm paying to a vendor, or talking with airports on how they can restructure their potential concessions program and rental rates. The airport's also evolved, I think, in just the design aspect, right? And how much money we're putting into these concessions locations. And I think it needs to further evolve, right? So we need these beautiful locations, but how can we keep some of these points of connections and existing footprints and just refresh it where it looks new, but that burden doesn't fall on a concessionaire to spend, you know, $3,000 a square foot to redevelop a location, and the location's down for longer, right? So you're not having that guest experience that you want. And I think a lot of people, we are as well, and a lot of companies are evolving just the operational model specific for concessions, right? How we look at staffing our locations, how we're looking at the method of delivering the service, right? Technology is all obviously big, but that's not just the only thing that we're looking at, right? So it's consistently changing, and it's evolved when I first got in the industry, and it's continued to evolve. And I think, you know, you have to, as an entrepreneur, especially on the concession side, you just got to have imagination, passion, and discipline, right? And seeking how to implement all these things.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt. Nick, you joined the board of the Airport Airport Minority Advisory Council. The organization has been working on promoting diversity for decades. How do you think that battle is going in the airports, and what are you hoping to add to that strategy going forward?
So technically, I just joined the PAC board for AMAC, it's not the full board, but, you know, I'm a board member for the Political Action Committee for AMAC. And
thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, not a problem. I wouldn't say it's a battle. I think it's a partnership and oversight and support of the industry. But, I think from my standpoint, I'm just trying to support the industry that's done a lot for my family, right? So this industry provided my father an opportunity to advance in his business career and advance the ACDB program, right? That's further the opportunity for countless other people, including myself. And so I feel like it's only right just to dedicate time, a portion of my time, I think it's right for everyone to do that, to support the overall industry. AMAC PAC board specifically, and like the AMAC federal advocacy team, we're focused on AMAC's mission overall, which is to protect and preserve federal ACDB programs and advocate for the full participation of minorities and women in aviation and aerospace contracting and employment, right? And for the PAC board, that's really done through advocacy and supporting and identifying candidates and members of Congress that have and will support this policy agenda over time. It's a tedious process. It's a lot of challenges that are coming towards us, but I think AMAC has been successful over the years in supporting this mission. And I hope and trust that my role in support of the board can continue to drive that mission.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And I apologize for the indelicate wording there. I didn't intend to portray it as a battle.
Yeah.
It just happened to be the word that popped out of my mouth, but point taken. There are, however, always some challenges to the program. And there was the recent Supreme Court ruling that came out on race conscious admissions, at universities and colleges. And, you're a small, growing, maybe mid-sized company in the concessions industry. What are your thoughts on the bigger picture, how things are playing out, how small and medium sized businesses do fit into the airport right now, and what kind of things need to be done to keep diversity moving forward in airports, even with some of these challenges that keep coming up?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to unpack. So, I mean, for a small and medium-sized company in this industry, it's becoming more challenging. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the cost to bid on projects, the process of certification, inflationary pressures, labor costs and challenges, capital costs. It's challenging for a small and medium-sized company to spread these inflection points across multiple markets, right? Usually we're in one or two markets. And so if you have a diverse business, you can spread this risk across that diverse portfolio, and smaller companies can't do that as easily. I think for, like, going to your point about the SCOTUS decision on race-conscious admission and, you know, AMAC's role on that and thinking through it, you know, that decision is concerning, right, overall. But I think that our landscape within the airports is distinguishable from those circumstances. You know, I think AMAC and FAA and airports have done a lot to make sure that the ACDB and DB program has a broader participation, just one by definition, right? So it's socio and economically disadvantaged, right? So that's Black, Hispanic, Native American, Asian, Pacific American, women, and groups designated by the SBA, right? So that can even cover service disabled veterans. And on top of that, I think the program has been narrowly tailored and administered over the years. And AMAC's done a good job, a great job, honestly, of laying the predicate for the DB. So it's withstood challenges over the years. And I'm kind of putting my legal hat on, right, talking through these details. Yeah. But I think because of a broader description of who's incorporated, the program being narrowly tailored, the predicate that all the members have laid in front of Congress, you know, I'm confident that we'll be able to sustain and maintain this program through potential challenges. You know, I think the industry has done a good job in supporting over the years the collective, like, expansion and more people getting into the ACDB program. It's completely different, a completely different landscape than it was, you know, back, I think, in 1972 when my father started the business. But we got to continue to work to drive and improve and grow more ACDBEs in all aspects of airport contracting, right?
Okay. Yep. Is that the biggest evolution that needs to take place? I mean, with the, is it, I mean, getting more people involved? Are there other ways that the program or that AMAC needs to evolve to keep things strong?
I think that from an ACDB program perspective, there's always multiple tweaks that need to be made, right? I think that's currently happening as far as, like, joint venture guidance that's occurring, and refining that so that people know how to better operate underneath and remove some of the barriers that can come up in trying to get joint ventures certified so that we have level playing field and rules. The regs are currently being modified, right? So personal net worth being adjusted, all these nuances that I think need to develop and change based off of today's operating time. But I think the other challenges and changes that really need to occur just in outside of what AMAC does in the ACDB program, it's just in how concessions and are looked at from an airport and airlines and operator standpoint and the operating model. I think that really needs to be the change to make sure that other ACDBs, mid-sized, non-ACDB, large companies can be successful in this business. Because that's where I've seen the biggest challenges that have arisen to allow for members that get into this industry to actually be successful.
Okay. Nick Cruz, CEO and managing partner of Cruz Companies. So you got two kids under two, you're running a growing business, you're involved in AMAC, you've also been involved with the Airport Restaurant and Retail Association for the last few years since it started up, ARA. How is that organization helping the industry evolve? How is cooperation between the airports and the operators holding up in the post-COVID years, and, you know, perhaps from my own personal perspective, what I probably need to learn a little bit about here is how you manage to keep all of this stuff going while you've got all those different balls in the air at the same time. But Ara, how's that playing out for you?
Yeah, Ara, fortunate to be one of the founding board members of Ara. And I don't know if you want to say fortunate or unfortunate to be nominated further to be the chair of government affairs during the largest crisis I think our industry's faced. But it's been a blessing to be able to work with, you know, top executives from other companies that sit on that board. And, you know, I love the focus of it. You know, it's really dialed in on collaborating with airports and industry partners. So that everyone's mutual benefit and interest, right, to elevate the overall travel experience. And more specifically, I think they've done a great job as a board and with our membership and helping facilitate the dialogue, right? So we're advocating and educating on a full slate of topics that cover some of the things I've already addressed and challenges that I'm dealing with internally with my company. So I think that it really helps support that goal. The cooperation has still been great. During COVID, when the house is on fire, everyone's kind of running around and you first just try and save yourself, right? And that can lead to some initial frustration and less collaboration in the beginning. But I think as we put that fire out on the house collectively within this industry, we've all started to rebuild not just our individual houses, but our collective house, right? To keep that metaphor going. And I see that cooperation remaining, honestly, but it takes a lot of consistent communication, honest communication, from a concessionaire to an airport to your airline partners and vice versa, so that we can keep that collaboration going and you don't go back to potential isolationism and everyone kind of fighting for their piece, where when that occurs, I think you miss out on, you know, the focus, right? The airport experience, if mm-hmm. I can throw that out there, right? And the guest experience.
Sure. Yeah. And speaking of which, I've been trying to get from everybody some thoughts on amenities they like and amenities they'd like to see. So as these changes have taken place in recent years, what's a new service or amenity that you have really found to be a benefit in the airport?
That's a tough one. I mean, I delve into all different services. One service that I heard is cool. It's coming forward in an airport in the South. I'll just say that. So everyone has like these ordering apps, right? Where you can just order, sure, a lot of the names, but there's one I heard that's coming that is tied into one of the, car ordering services. So basically while you're in your car from, you know, ordering a ride share, you can also then, if you're heading to the airport, order on that same app food in the airport, which I hadn't heard of that before, but it's an integration I hear is coming in the next year, which that seems pretty cool. Cause I think if you're already, you know, ordering a ride share car and you're in the car and the app pop, or you're looking at how far you are from the airport and you can see, oh, I can order my now and it gives you all those timings. I think that's going to be that next level of integration of a service and technology that I'm interested to see.
Okay, so like an Uber Eats on steroids.
Exactly.
All right, I like it. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. Conversely, is there an area, is there an amenity that you've seen on the street that hasn't made it to airports yet that you're a fan of and you'd like to see incorporated in?
I think airports have done a great job of incorporating the key amenities from street side into airports, right? They're like mini cities already. They reflect all key services that I think are needed. There's nothing that I think would truly add value to the guest experience at this point or be utilized where it's not just a lead loss from a financial standpoint from someone trying to execute it within an airport.
Okay.
So nothing I can jump out at, but I will say some of those services that I see some of my celebrity friends using look pretty cool, as far as where like you get a greeter at the curb and they meet you and then take you through like the private securities, those look pretty cool, but I know that's for like the one percenters and I'm not quite there yet.
I was going to say they don't have that for reporters. We're lucky if they don't take us into the dark rooms and automatically put us up for further
screening.
Further screening. Yep, pretty much. That's good stuff, Nick. Nick Cruz with Cruz Companies. I've asked the questions I came with. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about that we haven't hit on?
No, you know, I think we've hit a lot of areas. I think that we got to continue to keep this dialogue going. You know, one of the big areas that I'm consistently having conversations with the different coalitions and formal boards that I sit on and individually with airports and, you know, seeing what I think needs to improve. I think it's the change in perspective of how an airport looks to focus or grow its non-aeronautical revenue. You know, specifically looking at in-terminal concessions and changing that mindset that it doesn't need to be a revenue driver, but should be more so a passenger amenity. I think that can help out the industry as a whole in elevating that guest experience and also help out concessionaires who are truly having challenges that can appear insurmounting if the model doesn't change, right? Okay. And when you're diving in, I've done a little dive into some of the airport financials, and you know, everyone thinks that in-terminal concessions are a huge revenue driver for airports. It's only like usually around 10% of the overall revenue for an airport, which is, you know, a drop in the bucket when you look at some of the other areas. And I generally understand that airports and airlines have challenges and limitations on how they operate, whether it's a residual compensatory model or a hybrid model. But I really think that if the airports and airlines can look at in-terminal concessions as a passenger amenity and not a critical revenue driver, it can help change some of the business dynamics for concessionaires, that whether it's lowering rent, changing MAG, not capping pricing, that can let us be successful and elevate that passenger experience. And so, and it not be as detrimental to airports and airlines as they think it could be if that revenue drops a little bit for them. So I think that's one thing. I like the idea of trying to focus and drive that narrative. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to just kind of speak on that.
Yeah, no, I think that's an interesting, that's an interesting concept, interesting thought. And, you know, I mean, a lot of times when you take a step back and really do focus on the experience someone's having, making sure that they're in a good mood and served well, a lot of those revenue pieces take care of themselves anyway, and they might be a little more willing to open up the wallet and spend a little more on something else. So that's some interesting insight there, Nick. Nick Cruz. He's the managing partner and CEO at Cruz Companies, and he's got a new baby, two kids under two. Thanks for spending some time. Go spend some time with those kids, and I appreciate you spending some time with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andy, and thank you for what you do and AXN does for this industry. Appreciate the opportunity there.
Thank you.